live our faith every day, everything we do. So we thought instead of just standing here and talking to you about it, that we'd move out to the other room and break up into about two or three groups, and we'll just discuss everything.
I will say that they're still doing the inquiry session.
They're still what?
Doing the inquiry session in the gathering space.
I thought they moved to the library.
I think they're still out there.
Okay.
Yeah. But there's not as many people here, so I might be able to
break up in here. So yeah, and then we'll be out there just talking until dinner. And then after dinner, we will go fix some handouts for you. And then when you come back, we'll give you handouts, and then Carol will take over from there.
Great.
Sound okay? And you can just stay out there, so bring your purses, and that way you'll be out there for dinner already. You don't have to come back. Is that okay?
So do you have
time? After I go.
We'd like to get in groups. That way we all have different thoughts.
So do you want two groups of 16? Or what can three groups of 11 minus 1 and 1? Oh, yeah, 33. Three groups of 11?
Three groups of 11.
Would that work?
Sure.
Okay. Let's see. Let's just do it easy.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
9, 10. And it's 11. You're this group.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. yeah, any time would be grateful. I used to try to do a gratitude journal. I never could keep up with it.
I feel like it makes a difference too. Praying in the morning. Like, I can tell my mood on the different days of I pray in the morning and I don't pray in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
It totally sets the mood for the day.
Yeah, my day's crappy.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I did not do that.
Yeah, so true. It's kind of like when you tell you haven't had coffee yet. Like, your day is kind of like, and then, like, yeah, I need coffee. We're talking about ways that we pray and, like, how we can improve our prayer life. Hi. You guys can join us. I think we're going to get a lot of lessons. We're going to walk in here. We're just kind of having a group discussion.
Thinking like my inner thoughts are like, okay, how can I do that to like make it like part of my morning routine? Because it is sometimes like you know, sometimes it's just like, thank you God, you know, for waking me up. All right, now I gotta go get ready to go to the gym or go to work or, you know.
I think
it's like if you make it purposeful, you make it intentional that it's like it's an everyday part of life, then like building that habit, it'll just become second nature.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think it's easy to like write off the prayer part. Like we know it's important to like go to the gym or brush our teeth or things like that.
Right.
But those are things like we have control over. But like prayer is about surrender. And I think it's always to be like, I'll get to that later. And not realizing like it's so much more important than all the other things.
Right.
So those who just joined, we're kind of doing a group thing. We're going to be the biggest group, and that's awesome because we're here. But we're talking about practical ways to live a life of faith. And right now we're focusing on, like, how we can incorporate prayer in our lives and, like, how to make it better. So we're talking about, like, instead of just starting your day running, like, taking the time to be grateful for the fact that you woke up. But even if you, like, all you have time for is a short prayer, at least it's better than nothing. It's kind of like, you know, you walk in the gym and you're on the treadmill for 5 minutes, you hit something,
right. But
it won't quite will do much. It'll take a long time to actually see progress. Same with prayer. Like, the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. That's true. Anybody else? Yeah.
I found it's been really helpful for me to learn like the really common prayers, like the St. Michael prayer, or Hail Mary, or and Our Father, or Glory Be. Just my job, it's not the safest thing in the world, so if I don't wake up and I don't pray in the morning, when I'm walking into work, I always say St. Michael prayer. So even if it's not like a super diligent, long morning prayer, I don't think I've gone a day in the last year without saying the St. Michael prayer. So stuff like that, where even if you don't set aside the time in the morning to have one of the really super meaningful, long meditative prayers, or you don't wake up to pray the rosary in the morning, having something that is just quick that can kind of settle you and put you in the right mindset, that's helped me a ton. And then the Hallowed has helped me a lot.
Yeah.
So I live in Eagle Mountain, work up in Salt Lake, so.
You got some good podcasts.
Yeah, so I love that. So I'll turn on like the daily rosary with Father Mike, and I'll pray that with my wristband, my rosary in the car.
Yeah.
So I'll do that. I need to do that more often.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And then we were listening to Father Mike's homily on Sunday, and he said the only precursor that they've done studies that have shown like this is something that you can measure of how your spiritual life will go, the only precursor that they have found is the amount of time in prayer.
Whoa.
So
that's, really cool.
That's like the only thing. So yeah. It's the only thing that has been linked to everything. So the more time you spend in personal prayer,
right,
that's the only thing that they can measure that shows that you'll actually increase in faith as you go. And then you'll have a more spiritual life, and that's so obviously the prayer is super important. So whether it's the ones that you can memorize or the ones that you take time for, the meditative prayers like the rosary, I think just the more of them that you can learn, the better off you're going to be.
Yeah.
And helps you out.
has to do that. It's a good connection. That's really good. Anybody else? Okay, and I don't want to talk too much on it because I don't take all my clothes off. Attending Mass regularly. Make attending Mass a priority, not just on Sundays, but also during the week if you're able to, and on holy days of obligation. Being present in the Eucharist nourishes your soul and strengthens your faith. And we receive so many graces in the Mass. And it's really hard because, like, daily Mass, in the 9 in the morning, and, like, I saw something, I think I posted it. It was saying, like, if I was a priest, first thing I do is knock out the daily Mass at 9 a.m. because nobody knows unless you're retired. Like, make it later, like, have some evening ones so that kids can go, so people who are 9 to 5 can actually have a chance to go to their Mass, and we just don't have a lot of Mass times later in the day. And I totally agree. Or make a super early one. I will say the Carmelites have a 7 a.m., so that's a little better, but we know it's 6 a.m. But daily Mass was always a very big favorite of mine when I was becoming Catholic. It's so intimate, you know, it's like the same people were there, and like, Sundays are beautiful, I love the music and everything, there's just something about that quiet intimacy, like, the elite group of friends that are there, and like, you know, you're praying for other people, and there's a connection that happens that you kind of miss when it's like, all right, peace be with you, and everybody just scatters. Wait. But how about you guys, how do you feel going to Mass? And it can be, if you haven't gone to Mass very often, be very different if you're not used to it. Kind of awkward. My first Mass, I didn't know what to say, so I was pretty much a fish out of water. How has Mass changed your relationship with God?
I like to say I was born Catholic, so I was born in Mexico, so I was baptized without my consent. I was all that, right? And so, but Mass didn't take a meaning until probably a couple of years ago. Because I just went in out of it, right?
Yeah.
Family takes you do all the rituals and you don't even understand it.
Yeah.
Until First Communion, still didn't understand. It's just, that's what your parents did.
Mm-hmm.
Just by, yes.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm doing confirmation now.
Yeah.
Because it took me that long, right? It took me that long. But I didn't understand the meaning of Mass until a couple of years ago. It's the Eucharist.
Yeah.
It's all around it. So for me, just looking at it that way, and actually did a lot of change in my life. And I was going through a hard time. One day I was like, what else you have left? Go to Mass.
Right.
And took a different meaning a couple of years ago. So it's when you understand what Mass is really about, when you get deeper in your faith.
And it's where we get fed. It's like you can stay away if you need a nourishment. So it was like, you go to church because it's your obligation. It's like, God doesn't need you there. You need to be there. It's like direct opposite of what we think, right? Like, why do we have to show up? God loves me anyway. It's like, yeah, God loves you, and that's why he gave you the Mass, to feed you. Because he knows what you need, and like, no food on earth is gonna like help your soul, like be personal. Because it's heavenly food. And even though the concept is like, I can't explain it, I can't understand, but my faith tells me and that's what I need, and I can't live without it now. And days like when we do the First Communion Masses, like I'm here all day, so I got like two Eucharist on Sunday, and I was like, my day is ultimately better. So like, I'm done with Jesus. It does make a difference. So when I'm having a hard time, I do make an extra effort to go to daily Masses because I'm struggling spiritually.
I grew up in the Lutheran church, and there's a lot of similarities. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no denying that. But up until I started coming to OCIA, the biblical walkthrough of the Mass book? So we started coming to Masses before I decided to come to class. And from that time and the times that I had been to Catholic Masses prior to after reading that book, I had a complete completely different outlook on the why. All the things came together, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I started checking the boxes, and I'm like, okay, now I understand why that is the way it is, and I kind of had to bite my tongue a couple times and kind of tuck my tail between my legs and apologize to my husband for giving him crap for all these years, for all the different things, because I really understood it, and it made sense, and why? Before, it was just kind of like, oh, I guess that's just what they do, but why? And no one could ever tell you the why. It's like, oh, well, that's just what you do. I'm a cradle Catholic. That's just what we do. And I'm like, but why? I need to know.
Yeah.
So that book was probably the biggest help, and I'm about to go on my second round of rereading it, just because you lose things over time. And I think that is a super important read to be able to really connect back to it.
And he does such a great job explaining it, not at like this level, but it's not dumbed down either. It's like right here. Like everybody can understand it and even follow along, and it explains it. I mean, that's
same
the magic of Dr. Street.
It's the same with that, what is it, building the Faith Foundation one as well. Gives you a lot of the whys, and it's just really cool to be able to connect all the dots and finally have answers, and just kind of go from there.
I will say, don't be afraid to pick up a catechism and try reading some. It's really not, I didn't read it for years. In fact, I read it a couple years ago. I did the catechism here, and I loved it. I loved it one by one here. But it was, I thought it would be too hard to read, and so I didn't pick it up. And then when I was doing it, I'm like, oh, this is full of beauty and goodness and richness, and it's not over my head. Like, it's not overly complicated. It's really well done, so give it a try and see how you do it. And Father Mike does a great job, so I highly recommend the podcast, and that's one sweet.
It's just really good. And that's probably what does it.
It's very good.
Well, you see it,
and
you're like, ooh,
but
that's
you don't
good
have to read cover. So it's more like a glossary kind of. It's like references. So it's divided in four sections. So you can pick a section on prayer. Start there. Read about prayer. And then about when you're talking, and I can't remember what it was. But yeah, a lot of people just don't know their faith very well. And I'm glad we do that. And that's why the whole point of this class is to really focus on the Mass and the Catechism. And those two things, they kind of go together. But I'm actually thinking next year I'm going to try to break it down even more. Like, spend a whole year doing Mass and the Catechism, because we're kind of rushing through everything. I want to like slow it down and give time for discussion and make it a first look. But that's my summer project. Anybody else got Mass?
Like,
oh, he's awesome.
He's like the sweetest person on the planet.
He's my spiritual director.
our kids call him the happy deacon.
Oh,
he's always so happy.
So
we always try to sit on that side of the sanctuary to get a blessing from Deacon Dale, because any, you know, like obviously you can get like the quick blessing, but he takes so much time to like grab you, and you can tell how much he loves you, even though he doesn't really know you.
He looks you in the eye.
Yeah, Deacon Dale is like the coolest person ever. And so that's like my favorite part of coming to Mass, is just getting a blessing, because we can't receive the Eucharist yet, but getting that, it takes your week, and you're like, oh man, I'm good to go now.
He's also my youngest son's godfather, or me. Yeah, the other two aren't Catholic anymore, so at least I got one.
I've attended Mass more this year than I ever have. That's because I never have.
Well,
until
like,
this year. And it's just, I learn something every time I come. I learn or feel something more. And music is one thing that really moves me.
Mm-hmm.
I can listen to talks or whatever all day long, but if I hear a song, it moves me. And that's one of the things that I love so much about Mass, is there's songs, and we can sing them too in different parts, and people that are singing at this Mass are amazing.
Yeah.
You know,
Same, I'm biased at 8:30, but. Yeah, it is beautiful. I'm actually, sorry, I'm getting distracted, but I'm wanting to bring music ministry to the youth group. So that's another project of mine, is like bringing music to them, because I feel like these kids, like, they'll be operative first, but I feel like it'll really reach them in a way that just works camp.
So are you the soprano?
I don't sing.
You don't sing?
No. I can sing, but not well. I'm not my husband. I let him handle it. He'll be like, what note are you on? I'm like, just say the words. Okay. Read scripture daily. Incorporate reading the Bible into your daily routine, even if it's just a few verses each day. Immersing yourself in God's word can provide guidance, comfort, and inspiration. If you need some guidance and inspiration, check out short Bible study you can do on your own or in a small group with friends. You know, you guys know I'm doing the Bible in here again. I'm in the New Testament. I'm like, oh, I'm in Acts. Yay. Way better than Leviticus. But even like days that I'm not doing that, because I mean, it's like a 30-minute podcast every day. It's a lot. He's on time in the quarter, but I get through it. But even just reading the daily readings, and Hallow has them on there. You can just Google the daily readings. There's lots of places to find them. Just even that something to have for a psalm every day is beautiful. We kind of do that in Mass, but or a gospel reading. Are bigger than the Russian roulette Bible? You drop the Bible open and read what God wants to talk to you about. Sometimes it's crazy. This has been very quiet, so I'm good with you guys. So, how do you incorporate scripture, and what are some tips?
I do the Hallow app every morning on my way to work. I just listen to the daily scriptures.
She's so many sponsors.
And I actually am doing my 1 year Father Mike also. So after I finish the scriptures, I turn on wherever I left off, like the day before, if I didn't finish.
Where are you at?
What?
Where are you at?
That's a good question. I haven't listened in a couple of days.
Requested.
Whatever that equals to.
I can't remember, so it sounds like you're on me.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. Like, I don't know, some law.
Oh, the numbers.
All the numbers.
Yeah. That is why I can't remember.
Holy and boring. Yeah, that's good. Father would be like, it's the same Eucharist. I'm like, I know, but it's the difference between on a regular plate or fine china. Like, this feels like fine china to me.
Your spiritual growth. Just like you become most like the five people you hang out with,
I think we can be formed and become like the people we watch on TV or listen to on a podcast or read about. Choose to fill your mind, soul, and time with good and holy reading. So if you've picked your saint, it's in the better. Podcasts are a great way. There's really cool podcasts that explore saints. Learning about the saints, we've been doing it in a youth group, so we have an apologetics group every month. And kids need that. Like, they come in droves, and they're learning about a saint they've never met before, and they're learning about these holy heroes that they can go to. So that's really cool. And then we just explore saints and or a holy reading book, a book that you've read that's not considered in the Bible, but helps you.
Yeah, I've been definitely over the last 6 months or so digging in more, and I mean, I've just been blown away reading like St. Augustine, St. Thomas Aquinas, just early church fathers. I've just been so just amazed. If people haven't, probably many of you have, but I had never done that in my life before. And it's just, you know, some of the prayers that are in there, some of the kind of theology, and it's just the foundations of so much of what we believe, and it's seeing the source of it has mm-hmm. just been really amazing for me. And I love philosophy, and you know, seeing that intersection is great. But I'm trying to extract kind of the most impactful pieces and just share it with my family and with others, because it's and just to be able to reflect on it consistently.
Yeah, I love both of those things. Superheroes. join a Catholic community. Be an active member in your parish or small group in your community. Being part of the community provides support, fellowship, and opportunities to grow in your faith together. Even Jesus didn't do his ministry and walk the faith life of faith alone, and neither should you. And I think that is really important. Like, it's tempting to like be like, I've got to work on my own spiritual. We tend to be egocentric. But, you know, you guys are my brothers and sisters. Like, we are in this together. Like I always say, I want to make heaven crowded, like, super crowded. And finding ways to, like, find communities. And not just that, I mean, I'm a little different because I'm teaching class. But it teaches me, too, like, about Orthodox chants. And, like, I learn stuff all the time. I learned something new about the Mass this year. Like, no first one here. So we're always growing. We can help each other as we grow. Does anybody have a thought on that? No. It can be a little uncomfortable. And this is a community, so this counts. And by the way, I was just thinking about this actually before I read that. Once you know, you're confirmed, or if you come in Easter Vigil, or if you come, you know, hey, you're not kicked out. So if you're like, oh, I didn't learn anything, but I'm done, you're never done. Like, if you want to keep coming to class just to learn, more than merrier. We will find more chairs. If we outgrow the space, we'll go to the church. I don't care. We'll go outside. But you're always welcome to keep coming to class and learning more. I have people that, like, oh, my volunteer just like to learn. I'm like, you just come sit in. Like, it's not like, oh, yeah, but now I'm done. Like, you're welcome to come as much as you want. So I'm going to extend that. I'll extend it to the other people I hear. But it's never closed door. They won't necessarily put you to work. Witness through your actions. Just number eight. Okay, live in a way that reflects your faith in everyday interactions. Be kind, honest, and compassionate. Live a life that outwardly shows that you're a Catholic and are proud of it. Share Catholic content on your Instagram stories. Invite friends to go to Mass with you. Pray and fast regularly. Your actions can be a powerful testimony of your faith. And I'm just going to say a quick word. If you have something you're like, I gotta say this, just raise up your hand. You know? I would say, you know, I wear my Mary Mo all the time. I'm not like, you know, head to toe in Catholic wear. But just something, like, there's a mirror section in my front yard. Like, people come to my house, especially Christian, know right off the bat where I stand. And I had somebody on the camera, like, so don't be ashamed of faith. Yeah.
Somebody just actually stopped by our house. You know that Marla has the statue of Mary out front. Uh-huh. And it's just a random stranger just drove by and said,
knocked on our door and said, I just had to say, like, I love your statue of Mary. I drive by this house almost every day, and I've been, it's been like, you know, a year or something that I just drive by, and I just love your statue of Mary, so I just want to say thank you. Uh-huh. And it was like, Marla was just blown away. But that's, I think that's like, the expression of it can also give people hope and a reminder. It's kind of a beautiful thing, so yeah. Just to say amen to that as well.
Right, and it can be intimidating, especially Utah, because I don't want to offend people, but I'm also proud of my mom, so thank you for sharing that. Number 9, evangelize with love. Share your faith with others, just kind of piggybacks off of that one. Not by preaching aggressively, but through loving example and encouraging conversation. Be ready to explain the faith and hope that you have in Christ. Always with respect and kindness. Be excited to share about how you've grown in your faith, how you've seen God work in your life, and how the sacraments have nourished you. Sharing your testimony, your story with others is so powerful. And, you don't have to be able to do this. You can just be like, someone that's like, oh, you're smiling today, why are you good? I was a mess. And, if they want to ask more, they can. If not, you left it at the door. Just finding ways are, lots of people, like, instead of just offering for you, I'll mention you in my work. Like, it's just a little step further. I say to my mom. But finding ways to just plant the seeds. You never know which ones are going to go. Number 10, you made it. Sorry. Stay informed and engaged. Stay informed about current events and issues from a Catholic perspective. Engage in social justice and advocacy in line with church teachings. Working toward a world that reflects the values of the gospel. Our world now, more than ever, is pushing political agendas that do not reflect the Christian and Catholic model of life. Be informed about what the church teaches and how to stand up for it in your society. And I will say, there's one, Father Leo, you guys have heard him. He has a really good podcast, and he's always like, straight shoots it. And he'll handle like these tough political issues. Should we vote for this person if it goes against our faith? And should we? And he handles it with grace, but he's like not backing up the truth either. And I really love listening to him because he'll be like, here's the church's example. You don't agree with it, but this is what the church teaches, and we're not, varying from it. And it really helps me when I'm forming my own opinions too, because I'm like, I want to know what the church teaches, because part of being Catholic is like, I surrender because I believe in the church. And, obviously, if the church went against something God would teach, it wouldn't be the church. But finding those sources that really help you do that can help. Or like the catechism references that Josh had. Oh, I never put those out. I will give him and get those on there. I'm so sorry. That's really helpful so that you have a guide. Any thoughts on that?
I love him too, but he said something that has stuck with me, that church belongs to Jesus, not to man. So when you're trying to change it, that's when you need to stop. When you're trying to go where, oh, I should not be nice to this person, yeah, I can be nice to it, but if you want to come to the church belongs to Jesus, you know how to change it. Yeah. So I love that about him, and that stuck with me. Because my daughter was baptized in First Communion, but she's 25, and I remember being 25 and like, I don't need that, right? And I try to, every night I go down to her room and do the sign of the cross, do my praise in Spanish to her. And then today when I was leaving, she's like, are you going to do your confirmation? And I say, yeah, pretty soon, like next week. And then she said, am I going to do it? And I said, well, you need to come to class. And it's like, I'm not ready yet. I don't agree with a lot of the stuff the church does or believes. And I said, well, sweetie, you don't have to believe it, but you need to come, and then you'll know why. And she wants to change it.
Yeah.
And I said, that's not going to happen.
Right.
So that you can't change it. You can't. You have your opinion, but you can't change it.
Yeah.
And so I like that about what Sarah. I guess his name.
Cardinal Sarah. Yeah. I bought his book, The Power of Silence.
Oh, it's a book.
I haven't read it yet. Yeah,
oh, okay.
It's about silent prayer.
Okay.
But he did so on Hallow. There are challenges. He would do on the Saturdays. I think he would do silent prayer.